He's around you everywhere. He will hear and answer you too. He'll see you through.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. It is written, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why, the bush is not burnt. It is written. And the Lord said, draw not nigh hither. Put off the shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, and this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. O holy day of Pentecost, on which the Spirit came, in promised power as anxious hearts were met in Jesus' name. O glorious day of Pentecost, O blessed natal morn, when in the hearts of holy men the Church of Christ was born. O blessed Lord of Pentecost, our Savior and our King, to Thee for all Thy gifts of love our grateful hearts we bring. Lead us, O Lord of Pentecost, and keep us from all sin. We would remember Calvary. Reign Thou our hearts within. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message. The God who answers by fire. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 24, it is written, and the God that answers by fire, let him be God. That statement is certainly true in the careers of two very prominent servants of God in the Old Testament scriptures, Elijah and Moses. And since that statement is mentioned in regards to Elijah, we consider him first. A confrontation arose between Elijah the prophet and Ahab, king of Israel, when Ahab greeted Elijah by saying, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" Ladies and gentlemen, is there any difference in then and now? There are many in various areas of the Lord's work today who are looked upon as troublemakers, of what Paul called in Galatians the Israel of God. But Elijah had the perfect answer when he said, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord." So Ahab sent to all Israel to meet on Mount Carmel for a meeting of Elijah and 450 prophets of Baal. Elijah began the meeting with a challenge to Israel. "How long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him, "Not a word." This, of course, is always the same safe side. Don't say anything. Just go with the flow. I was told one time that the best way to get along is to go along. That question, however, is a good one for many Christians today. How long will ye halt between two opinions? Make up your mind. Are you serving the Lord or the devil or self? That is always a good question for the Christian, considering that the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." Then Elijah proposed this test. "Let the prophets of Baal offer up a bull as a sacrifice to Baal, and I will offer a bull as a sacrifice to the Lord. Then let the God who answers by fire be God." And all the people said, "It is well said." Elijah gave the prophets of Baal the first chance at it. They dressed their bullock and put it on the altar and called on the name of Baal from morning till late in the noontime hour. With no response, Elijah suggested that perhaps Baal had laid down for a nap or was on a hunting trip, or maybe he is pursuing. "Holler a little louder. Maybe he will hear." But he never did. Now it was Elijah's turn. He made an altar of 12 stones, one stone for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. He placed the wood on the altar and cut the bullock. Then he commanded they pour 4 barrels of water on the sacrifice. After that, pour 4 more barrels of water. After that, 4 more barrels of water was poured on the sacrifice. There was 1 barrel of water for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Then Elijah prayed, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God." God had answered by fire. Ladies and gentlemen, not only did God answer by fire on that occasion, but also there was another time when God answered by fire at the time of the translation of Elijah into heaven. "And it came to pass, when the time was at hand, Elijah smote the waters with his cape of the Jordan. The waters parted, and the two of them passed over on dry ground. And as they went on and talked, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha told Elijah that he would like a double portion of his spirit. Elijah said, "You can have it if you see me leave." When Elijah left this planet, he was doing something that is very enviable as far as a way to go is concerned. At the time he left this world, he was teaching someone else the Word of God. What a blessing for a professor in the classroom, or a Sunday school teacher teaching the lesson, or a preacher preaching the sermon, or for those present at that time either hearing the Word of God, observing the Lord's Supper, or making a contribution to the ongoing of the preaching of the Great Commission. What a blessing to suddenly be taken at such a time. As has been said, 'Tis a consummation devoutly to be wished. God answered by fire and took Elijah. That fiery chariot was no ordinary chariot. Think of what the psalmist said about the chariots of God. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. Then again, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. The Lord, he is the God, the Lord, he is the God. The ascension of Elijah on the fiery angel chariot reminds us of our own translation, when the Lord returns. Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, "And to you who are afflicted, rest with us at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with the angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance on them that know not God and who have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even everlasting destruction from the face of the Lord and the glory of his might, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and marvel at by all them that believed our testimony in that day." God answered Elijah by fire, and he will answer by fire at his second coming by the same fiery chariots of angels. The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Another time when God answered by fire was in the life of Moses at the burning bush. And an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned." And then when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses!" And he said, "Here am I." If Moses had been too busy to turn aside, the Lord may never have spoken to him. In James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you." And then God said, "Draw not nigh hither, put off the shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." God had appeared unto Moses by fire in the bush that was not consumed. God had answered by fire. Moses knew for sure, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Whenever God gets to get a person's attention in the Word of God, he calls his name twice. Moses, Moses. Later on he called, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, Lord, your servant heareth. In the New Testament, God tried to get the attention of Saul of Tarsus and said to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? God wanted to get his attention, and he repeated it three times. Once in Acts 9, Saul, Saul. Again in Acts 22, Saul, Saul. And again in Acts 26, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Through the preaching of the gospel, God has called unto some of you, not twice, but many times. Every time you hear the gospel preached, he is calling your name for one purpose or another. Many times the call falls on dead ears, no matter how many times it comes. Isaiah said, They have ears that hear not. And that statement of Isaiah is repeated six times in the New Testament. Now it seems like a great mystery that a bush could be burned with fire and yet not be consumed. The riddle is easily solved. The bush was not consumed because God was in the bush. Anything that God is in cannot be consumed. The church has endured the fires of persecution, and it has not been consumed because the Lord is in it. Today, the devil many times has adapted his methods to the times. In many cases today, here in America, it is not physical persecution, but the fire of ridicule and mockery that threatens the church. In many cases, the high ideals of the church has been turned to ashes, and yet it still lives on. The real church will never die because the Lord is in it, and it will not be consumed. The church that started on the day of Pentecost is still here because God is in it. God answered by fire on the day of Pentecost, the day the church began. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of the rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Then there appeared unto them cloven tongues, parting asunder, like as a fire. And it set upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. God had answered by fire. The Holy Spirit gave them the utterance that Jesus died on the cross and was buried, and arose from the dead on the third day, ascended back to heaven, and sat down at the right hand of God. Then they that heard that story were pricked in their hearts, and asked what they must do. Peter told them, Repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God will call unto him. And that was the message that was preached the day the church was born, and it is still being preached today on this broadcast because the fires of evangelism still burn in the hearts of the many who support the preaching of the Great Commission. I see the bush on fire every time I see a person who believes the gospel and repents of his sins is buried in the waters of baptism. I still see the bush burning every time I am present on the Lord's Day and observe the memorial service of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And we have the assurance that the fire will still be burning when the Lord returns, because the Scripture says, Ye show forth his death till he comes. The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Then again, the reason the Bible, with its 1,189 chapters, is still here is because God is in it. The Bible has been burned, and yet it still lives. As it is written in Jeremiah 23, verse 29, the prophet said, "Is not my word as of a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces?" The Bible also has endured the fires of criticism and the fires of indifference and neglect by the Christian himself. If the Bible had been consumed, the next time you reach for it, your hand would find nothing but a pile of ashes. Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 1:25, "The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of God abideth forever." That book will never be destroyed because the Lord is in it. And that word is the word Jesus referred to in John 12:48. "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judgeth him. The word that I spake, the same shall judge him at the last day." Remember, Hebrews 12:29 warns, "Our God is a consuming fire." And Jesus stressed this truth in Matthew 24:35. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away." Then, too, the individual Christian is a burning bush, while we may or may not be burnt at the stake. Peter said, "Think it not strange, the fiery trial that has come upon you. The fire of the faithful to the sin of division has burned out in the faith of many of the unsteadfast, and all that is left is a pile of ashes. But wherever there is an Isaac, there will be an Ishmael to mock him. Whenever there is an Elijah, there will be an Ahab. But those who look to Christ and not to men will not be consumed. And many like Moses will turn aside to see this great sight, the bush that burned and was not consumed. God had answered by fire. The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God." Now, this final word. Here is the question again. How long will ye halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. That question was asked over 900 years ago, but actually, it goes back further than that. It goes back all the way to the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 2, it is written, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Then in verses 16 and 17, God said, "For of every tree of the garden ye shall freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." The Lord said, "Eat of the tree and you die." The serpent said in Genesis 3, "You shall not surely die." So now the question is just as fresh as a headline on the 6 o'clock news tonight. How long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow him. If the devil be God, follow him. Adam and Eve chose to obey the devil and died. And so did all the rest of us. Now just one more thing. The Lord drove them out of the Garden of Eden, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. ladies and gentlemen, that flaming sword will block every plan of man to live forever. But the book of John gives us the answer. In chapter 19, verse 41, John reminds us concerning the burial of Jesus. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, wherein was never yet man laid. There then, because the tomb was nigh at hand, they laid Jesus. Jesus was crucified on a tree in the garden, and from there arose from the dead. The flaming sword of the cherubims had pierced the heart of Jesus with that sword on the tree in the garden, and paradise is now open to all who will come to the cross, the tree of life, in the midst of the garden. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Tell somebody somehow and in some way that God is just a prayer away. Praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition. Check out our website, edbousman.org.